Hello and welcome back to FlyLive's F1 podcast. This is episode 9 and I'm Ethan Evans, joined again today by Izzy Holman, Kurt Callahan and Adrian Keita. Now today we've got a bit more of a discussion episode, so we're going to be going through our dream Formula 1 calendar. So we've got 20 races, we're going to go through them in blocks of 4, and then we're moving on to a tier list for the 2021 drivers, and we're going to rank them in, I think there's 6 different categories. We're ranking them according to how good we think they are. So anyway, getting on to, which probably mentioned before that, earlier on today, Lewis Hamilton did sign a 1-year contract extension. Interesting that it's only a year, is it? Let's just get your thoughts on that. Do you think this is Hamilton's way of saying, if I win the title this season, then that's it for me? Or I think he'll continue?
I think it's hard to say, as with most things, but I think that it only being 1 year means he has more control over what's in each contract, because it's not like he's suddenly going to go out of style, is it? He's not suddenly going to become awful, at least I really don't think he is, and then not be in demand. There's always going to be in demand, at least for the next few years. So I think, especially with the new regulations coming in 2022, because this one's only a year. This season, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a weird season because the regulations are supposed to be coming in and now they're not, and it's still going to be affected by COVID. And hopefully 2022 will be a bit more of a normal season. So I think it's basically a stopgap contract kind of thing. He's figuring out how he feels about the new regs. You know, possibly he might retire after the 8th world title, but, you know, he was hungry this season for it. I can't see him stopping that so soon, but you never know, you might pull a Rosberg.
And Kit, do you think this is kind of maybe a changing of the guard, so that if Hamilton does leave at the end of the 2021 season, this is the time for George Russell to take his place? Or do you think Hamilton may stay on for an extra couple of years, which will mean that George Russell most likely replaced Valtteri Bottas?
I think they're just taking it step by step. There was a lot of logistical issues to overcome in the contract anyway. I think both Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton are really pushing for their We Race as One and ending discrimination in F1. They've announced that they want to do a joint partnership in combating racism, discrimination and everything else, making F1 more inclusive. So certainly they're going to be pushing that, but that's kind of something to look at in the future. That's post Lewis Hamilton's F1 career. So whether that could be a sign that Lewis Hamilton is coming to the end of his career, I think it could be. A 1-year contract extension as well. I don't think any other team, well, I know that no other team could afford him. So realistically, I think if he doesn't stay on at Mercedes, then that's the end of the road in F1. And the fact it is a 1-year contract extension, and one of the reasons that it took so long is because of this partnership that they've got, makes me think that this probably is his last year.
And Adrian, as Kit said, do you think this is Hamilton's going to stick at Mercedes for the rest of his career or next season, depending on what he hears from other teams and who seems like get the regulation spot on? Do you think he could move to a different team?
Well, his sets are with Mercedes currently. He wants to get that 8th world championship, which is going to be record breaking, without a shadow of a doubt. His mind will be on that 8th. Depending on whether he wants to stay on in F1 for the 2022 season, he may want to go elsewhere. He may want to venture elsewhere with the regulation changes happening next year. But with this 1-year contract, I think if he gets the 8th decisive world championship, I think personally he might want to walk away from the sport. I think he's set enough of a legacy as it is. So it just depends on what he'll do after the 1-year deal, if he extends with Mercedes, or whether he calls it quits. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but I think he will personally walk away after his 8th world championship.
Interesting thought there, guys. So moving on to our dream Formula 1 calendars. So we've everybody's come up with 20 races they would like to see as their dream calendar. So, Kit, I'm going to come to you first. I want you to list off your first four races of your dream season.
Okay, so with mine, I haven't specifically thought about the order of races. So you may think, what on earth is going on here? Because they're a bit all over the place. So the logistics of it might not be quite right. And the teams may hate me for taking them between, half the world, basically. But if I list the four that I've got on the list, I've stuck Mount Panorama in there. F1 used to be there. I don't think it's really cut out for the modern era, for the modern cars, but it would be a good laugh to see them back there going through all the tight corners and absolutely blitzing it downhill. Then I've got Spa, brilliant race circuit, would never take it out. Silverstone, of course, and Baku, Azerbaijan. I love that circuit, so I've left those three in.
Interesting first four races. Adrian, on to you.
Well, similarly to Kit, I haven't really thought of the geographical logistics between this, so I've just stuck with a list and I've just gone with whatever. Starting off, I've got the Australian Grand Prix at Albert Park. Simple bog standard, it's always been first in the calendar, and I think it should stay because it's a very interesting race. Whenever it does happen, shame it has been postponed this season to a later date, but regardless, it's number one on my list. Then I've gone with Portimão of Portugal. Last season's race was a thriller, so I definitely want to see it back on the calendar. Then I've gone with Monaco. Can't go wrong with a bit of Monaco. And then I've also gone with Imola.
Okay, moving on to you, Izzy. What's your first four races?
Like the other two, I have not done this in like a season order. So it's just a list. No one said we had to do it in order of like, I don't want to have to think about geography on a Monday. So my first four are Spa. It's my favorite circuit. I'm not going to leave it off. Silverstone, Monaco, and Brazil. Brazil's one of my like secret favourites but it always creeps up on me and then I remember how much I like it, which I think is a bit controversial because Adrian's really put in a face.
Well, if this proves anything, I think it proves that you three do not listen, because I did say give us your calendar order, and I can see Adrian going mental when I'm not going to have that. But I have come up with an actual calendar order, which I think works. So round one, I've gone for Melbourne Park. Australia is a good circuit. It's a nice introduction to the new season. For race number two, I've gone for the outer layout of the Bahrain circuit. I think last season's race showed that it's definitely the better of the two layouts, and I think it gives a more interest in racing. Round three, I've gone for China. China's been on the race for quite a long time now, I think. And I think it's been a good addition. And round four, Turkey. I've got a return to Istanbul Park. And yeah, it produced a very good race last season. And I think, I don't know why Turkey's been absent for so long. But moving on then, Kit, what about your next four races?
I've gone Singapore, Marina Bay. I love a street circuit, and it's a fantastic Grand Prix to watch. Lots of previous drama. Then I've got Interlagos, so Brazilian Grand Prix. Completely agree with Izzy. Fantastic circuit. Felipe Massa was my favourite driver growing up as well, so home Grand Prix for him. I've got Suzuka, left that one in, and Mugello.
And Adrian, on to you.
I've gone for my next four. I have gone for Azerbaijan, a little bit of Baku. Love a bit of the street circuit in Baku. Then I've gone to Spain with Barcelona. There's always a cracking race in Spain. Then I've gone with back-to-back British Grand Prix. So I've gone to Donington Park and I've gone to Silverstone as well. So those two, I think bringing back Donington Park would be absolutely fantastic. The layout is fantastic there, and especially with the back-to-back races happening in Britain, would definitely get the British crowd in and around the circuit. So yeah, I've gone for those two for the last two.
Very nice, very interesting concept there. Izzy, what about your four?
So I've gone for Circuit of the Americas, Zandvoort, because I'm excited for that this season, Monza and Mugello. Not Imola. I've just gone for Monza and Mugello because I preferred them over Imola. I think Imola's slightly overrated.
Very interesting. So I've also gone for Zandvoort. I think it's a very nice circuit. Then Monaco. So I replaced Zandvoort with Spain. I don't rate the Spanish Grand Prix very highly. Round 7 for Canada, and round 8 Azerbaijan. So some interesting racing previously on those circuits. So Kit, would you like to give us your next 3, 4?
Yes, the next four. Now I've put Monaco in. You couldn't have F1 without Monaco, historic circuit. Then I've gone slightly odd one, maybe the Hungaroring. I personally quite like it. I think it can throw up an interesting race. Then I've got Austin, USA. You know, I think America is absolutely huge for sport. It's good to see, get the American fans on board, show them that F1 is far, far better than NASCAR. And then I've got the Argentinian GP, the Oscar Alfredo Ring in Buenos Aires, I believe. And yeah, hasn't been in the calendar for a while, but brilliant race. And, you know, I've got some amazing, well, I can't exactly say memories being only 19, but I've seen some amazing videos on YouTube of old races there.
And Adrian, on to you.
My next four start off with Belgium, absolute classic, like Izzy said, can't go wrong with a bit of Spa. Then I've gone with Monza, absolute speed circuit. Then I've gone with the Red Bull Ring in Austria, and I've also gone with Zandvoort, like you guys have mentioned already.
Very nice, very nice. Izzy, your next four?
So I've gone, my first two are ones we got added last season. So I've gone for Turkey and Portimao. Then I've gone for Canada, because I missed Canada this year. And Baku, which, I mean, a few of us have said Baku, but I've seen some stuff where people are quite critical of it. But I think I really like the narrow part where it goes all through the old town and, you know, poor Charles Leclerc crashing more than, well. Brilliant. Crashing once in real life and then once crashing again virtually.
It's brilliant to watch, but an absolute pain to play on a F1 2020 on the PlayStation. I had to put that in.
I would have said the exact same thing.
Even my brother quotes the I am stupid thing, and he doesn't even properly watch F1. He will like maybe come in and sit with us if me and my dad are watching it, but he frequently goes, I am stupid.
Like, I am stupid.
He just does it. So I had to include Baku.
So, I think you can't. I don't know why Baku gets a lot of hate. I think it's a bit misplaced. But on to my next four. So I've gone for Portimao, classic circuit. I think we all said last week we'd love to see that on the calendar this year. Austria, Red Bull Ring, I've gone for next. Produces some classic races, especially last season, the two back-to-back races. Silverstone, iconic. You can't have a season without Silverstone. And round 12, we've gone for a return to Germany with a Hockenheim. I think it's a classic circuit, and I think it'll be a good fit on the calendar. So Kit, would you like to kick us off with your next four?
Of course. So the next four, I've got Portimao, recurring theme in this group. Then I've gone for Nürburgring, which Germany, brilliant circuit, have to say, good history. Then I've got the Red Bull Ring in Austria, and the Barcelona GP as well.
And Adrian, on to you, although I think Izzy has some complaints about those four.
Izzy definitely has complaints about Spain. She's making ever so weird facial expressions when me and Kit have mentioned the Barcelona. But for my next sport, I've gone, similarly to Kit, I've gone with the Nürburgring. Classic, fantastic racing at the Nürburgring. Then I've gone with Sepang, Malaysia. I'd like to see that back. Then I've gone with Singapore and I've gone with Suzuka in Japan.
Love to see a bit of Malaysia. Izzy, on to your next four.
Yeah, I don't like Spain. I don't know why people are saying it. It was like the first one I was like, well, we're going to cut that. And I don't like... So my first of the four is Austria. I like a shorter circuit because I think, you know, gives us something different. Singapore, because you can't beat a night race. Japan, because it's Japan. And Mexico, because I just really love that some of these are like nothing to do with the race. I just really love the stadium bit and the atmosphere. Like some of these, I've chosen them for really weird reasons, but you know, there we are.
Well, that's an interesting way to decide the calendar. But on to my next four. So I've got Hungary as the last race before the summer break. And then I've got back-to-back Belgium and Monza. You know, how can you not have Spa and Monza back-to-back? And then I've gone for Malaysia as well. I do think it's a better track than Singapore, personally. But yeah, I'd love to see a return back there. So, Kit, would you like to give us your final four races?
Yeah, of course. And actually, yeah, just a quick point on the Barcelona one. I did consider both China and Hockenheim. Hockenheim, I'd left out because I've already got a German race. And China, I just thought human rights issues, you know. But hey, it is what it is. So Barcelona's in. And my final four, I've got the Jules Villeneuve in Canada, Canadian GP. Monza, of course, can't leave that one out. Istanbul, the ice ring. I think it could potentially be a brilliant race if it isn't as icy as it was last time, that is. And my final one, I've also gone to Malaysia.
Well, I say keep the Istanbul, but keep it as an ice rink. So I think it produced much better racing like that.
It was Adrian, entertaining.
It was very entertaining, yeah. Adrian, what are your final four?
Like you said, keep the ice ring in Turkey. So I have gone with Istanbul. Produced entertainment, come on. It was fantastic last season. So keep it as an ice ring and don't have it in the good and nice, shiny weather that you usually can produce. So I've gone with Turkey. Then I've gone with Mexico. USA for my second to last race, and then Brazil to end it off with.
I think we all love to see a return to Brazil being the last race of the season. But Izzy, would you like to give us your final four?
Yes, so I have the Bahrain Outer Circuit, because even though it causes me pain, it was a good race. Then Indianapolis, because I think that'd be really fun to go back there. And I have seen some rumours about possibilities of doing more than one race in America, and that Indianapolis would be like sort of top of the list. Then I've gone Brands Hatch, because you can't beat some classic racing around Brands Hatch. And then there's a couple of South African circuits, and I don't really know much about that have been used in F1 before. I don't really know much about either of them, but I think we should go back to Africa, because I think we're just ignoring a whole continent and there's loads of fans there. So I think it would be nice. But I did miss out. There were three that I really wanted to put in, but you know, couldn't. But this year's calendar is 23 that I really want Malaysia, Germany, and Hungary. I particularly like Hungary because it's often about the strategy rather than, you know, like who's fastest. There is often some sort of really interesting strategy calls. So being really nerdy, I quite like Hungary as well. But that's me cheating and doing more than 20.
I actually just thought of another one quickly. I know this would be 21, but the Buddha International Circuit in India, I think it would be absolutely brilliant to go to India. I love the country. I think it's got so much culture. Seeing an F1 race there would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, unfortunately, Kit, you gave us your 20, so we can't accept that. But as I've put Suzuka for round 17, and then although Izzy said Indianapolis, which I am definitely considering swapping for Circuit of the Americas, although I'm a big advocate for Circuit of the Americas, I'm going to keep it like that. If I could have 21 and not bend the rules like Izzy and Kit have done, I would add Indianapolis, but I'm keeping it like that. And then Mexico City for the penultimate Grand Prix before Interlagos for the final Grand Prix, which, you know, it's just a very, very good circuit. It should be the final race of the season. I think we can all agree. I don't think Abu Dhabi is the best race to end it on. That is our dream calendar. So I hope you guys agree with that. And we'll be moving on now to our driver tier list. So I have produced a little tier. So I don't know if you guys can see that. This is going to be a bit more of a discussion format. So we have got 7 different tiers. So we've got GOATs, race winner, podium level, regular points, midfield driver, back of the grid, and then Mazepin. So we'll be kicking things off with Lewis Hamilton. So this is going to be a bit more discussion format. So anybody would like to kick me off? I think we all know which way this is going, but someone get the ball,
go.
The ball rolling.
Yeah,
just chuck him in there.
Doesn't even need discussion.
I was thinking between Mazepin and back of the grid, but funny.
Well, if we had a one between them, then that would be perfect. But as we've got, we may as well.
Yeah, may as well. Logical.
So moving on, Valtteri Bottas.
Podium level.
I mean, he is a race winner, though. The problem with these categories is you can objectively do it by, like, what, like, he is technically a race winner.
Yeah. Don't bring
I think you've got to factor in, the car that they're driving, kind of driver ability, all that sort of stuff. The fact that he's in a Mercedes, he should be pushing Hamilton a lot more than he does. Therefore, I think you've got to downgrade him from race winner to podium level.
But there are very few people who could push Hamilton.
That is true.
Rosberg did do it for 3 years.
He should be pushing the most, shouldn't he? In a Mercedes, they are in similar machinery. So he should be pushing Hamilton as much as he possibly can. So drop him to podium level. Thank you
very much. Yeah, I mean, I think probably do drop him to podium level, but just playing devil's advocate.
I did have him as race winner, but hearing your argument, Kit, I think I've been swayed on that one. Especially given that George Russell did outperform Bottas.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you.
Back of the grid. Max Verstappen.
Race winner.
Yeah.
Race winner.
I think when he gets the chance, he'll win a championship. But he's...
I had him on the border between race winner and...
Yeah.
Goal, but yeah. Step above.
Quite there yet. He needs to prove himself by a few championships.
He's still a bit aggressive.
Given that Bottas is podium level, I'd definitely have him as race winner because I think he is above.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still got a couple of attitude issues here and there a couple of times.
Yeah, but then again, he is still young.
Yeah, definitely race winner.
Sergio Perez. Now, this is an interesting
one. I'd say podium level.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's been in the sport a long time, and he's only just now, everyone's got really excited about him because he's been signed by Red Bull and he won a race.
Yeah, but he has been maximising the machinery he's been in consistently.
Yeah, and he's very good at things like time management and things like, you know, he's good at the... He's consistent.
Yeah, I think this would be better if we review it at the end of the season because I think Perez could have the phenomenal season or get shown up now that he's got a very quick teammate next to him.
Well, it's quite easy to get shown up by Max Verstappen though, isn't it?
True. So are you all in agreement for podium level?
Yes.
Yep.
Back in podium.
Okie doke. So, Daniel Ricciardo.
Goat. I love him.
See,
well, he's not better. He's not quite as good as Max Verstappen, I wouldn't say.
No, I wouldn't say he's better than Max Verstappen. I would argue that Ricciardo is a better driver than Bottas.
Yeah, I think I would.
I'd say put him ahead of Bottas.
Yeah.
In top of podium level, but I'd put him underneath Verstappen.
But then
I think he's an all around good
between race winner and GOAT. So would Ricciardo be on the border between podium level and race winner?
I would say so.
At the bottom of race winner.
I think he can sneak into race winner. I think he can sneak into race winner. I think he's an all-around good guy. He's got a great attitude. He's a funny guy. Everyone likes him. Sort of his overall character and experience brings him up.
Yeah. You just love him, don't you?
We're in agreement there, Daniel.
I do love him. And he's Australian, so bonus points.
Now, Lando Norris. I think it's probably you can't put him above regular points.
Yeah, I'd say regular points.
But I think that's because he's quite young. I do believe he has the potential to be a bit more, but I think obviously he's not had enough seasons yet. You know, he's finding his feet still.
Yeah, but I think regular points is probably congratulations to him because, you know, he is still the youngest driver on the grid. And we're approaching his third season and he's proved himself to be.
Well, he's not next, he's not this year. Tsunoda's younger than him.
Oh, is he? No.
Yeah.
I thought you were still.
Tsunoda's the 2000s, baby.
Young boy.
Tsunoda's the first driver to be born in the 21st century.
Wow.
So I think we're all in agreement for Lando Norris in regular
points. Lando Norris, regular points.
Right, moving on then. Sebastian Vettel. Now, this is a very interesting one.
GOAT! Get him in there!
Oh, that was terrifyingly aggressive.
History in F1 or currently?
I'm probably saying GOAT purely based on the history. Currently, well, last season we saw what happened with him.
I don't think you can quite say GOAT. He's not got 7 world titles, he's only got 4.
Yeah, and Charlie, good old Leclerc, kind of showed him up a bit.
Well, last season, I don't think you can really judge him on because obviously Leclerc had better machinery last season. But
yeah, it was a weird one last season. Yeah. I wouldn't say go. I'd probably say race winner. I mean, he has got 4 world titles.
I mean, you kind of have to put him in race winner. Would you put him above or below Verstappen?
Above.
Yeah, Verstappen's not proved himself yet. He has, but not on the world title front. So I think you put him.
Yeah, I think this season's going to be absolutely pivotal for Seb. If he absolutely smashes it this year, then I think that will cement him as GOAT. But at the moment, race winner.
Lance Stroll.
Midfield.
Yeah, midfield. He's not awful.
I think he's
not awful as in he's not back of the grid.
Yeah,
but I think he's also not great. Reason, because, you know, he is in what arguably was the third quickest car last season.
Yeah, but he's still got a pole in the wet. Like, he does do quite well in the wet.
Mm.
You know, he has that sort of going for him.
Yeah, he's not
bad. Is he just a bit too inconsistent to be any higher than midfield?
If he was more consistent, then he would have been in the regular points, of course. He would have had a lot more points than he did. He wouldn't have crashed out as many times. He would have got better quality times as well.
Yeah, I think there was a run after his podium in Monza where he got 6 DNFs in a row.
Yeah, he did 6 of them.
Was it 6 in a row?
It was around that figure.
Weren't his fault, though.
Yeah,
not all of them were his fault, but then again, some of them were. I think there was also quite a few mistakes. So I remember Imola, I think it was, where he drove over someone's front wing.
Yeah.
There was an incident with Lando, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was at Portimao, where he drove side of him.
But then there was a time when Leclerc drove into him, I think, in one of the Italian races, I think, possibly. I might be... There was definitely an incident where Leclerc... between him and Leclerc, that where I think it was sort of more Leclerc's fault, but I can't remember what race it was.
I'm not too certain on that one. I think we're all in agreement for midfield driver. I think that's
a
fair reflection. Fernando Alonso.
It's difficult because he was great and then the McLaren years weren't great.
Yeah, but...
And now he's old.
I mean, if you look at what he's done outside of F1 as well, though.
Former Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, just look at like his racing. If you look at his racing career outside of F1, like what he's been doing outside of F1, I think that cements him as an absolutely brilliant driver. You know, his Le Mans victories. World Endurance, I think they won last year. Like he's been putting in brilliant performances all over the place.
Yeah, but this is a podcast about F1.
Yeah,
not about other motorsports. F1.
Obviously, I mean, I'm fully, you know, other racing series are great. They're all entertaining, but it is about F1.
Well, I mean...
Is he better or worse than Seb?
I would put Seb above him. I'd make an argument for Verstappen, to be honest.
I mean, he has got, two
world champs? I think I'd put Verstappen above him.
Yeah, he's got two world champs, hasn't he?
Yeah, but they were
15
years ago.
I mean, I would definitely say race winner. I wouldn't go lower than race winner.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
I think the question is, do we put him above or below Verstappen?
I'd say below.
I would make a strong argument for below Verstappen, based on the fact you could argue he had a Ferrari and then obviously he didn't have a great time with Baron. But I think that was
I'd agree. I'd put him below Verstappen.
Yeah. Esteban Ocon. I know what Kate's going to say here.
I mean, I just think he underperformed, to be honest. I think Danny Rick kind of showed him up a bit, so I wouldn't really want to put him much higher than midfield driver.
Yeah,
I'd probably put him above Stroll, though.
Don't know about that.
I'm not a
they're
fan of
Stroll. They're both quite inconsistent.
But I would probably put Stroll in front of Ocon.
But is
maybe
that a machinery
thing?
Maybe
that's just because he had a year out. A couple of years ago and come back and took some time to adjust, but I would probably put Stroll above Ocon.
But I think he did warm up towards the end of the year a bit, and I think the year out did affect him a lot more than sort of anyone really gave him credit for, although obviously he shouldn't have let it affect him kind of thing.
Is that also his
and
problem?
Stroll has a better car. I feel like they're quite even, to be honest.
What we got voted for? I'll put Stroll in front.
I would put Stroll in front.
Yeah.
Wow. There we are. We'll put Stroll in front then.
Charles Leclerc.
Go, please.
No.
No, I'm joking.
I would say podium level, but behind both.
I'd probably put him either top of podium level or the low race winner.
I'd stick with top of podium level. I don't think obviously last season wasn't phenomenal and he's only had a couple of victories, but obviously like we said, if he continues to progress, I reckon he can jump into race winner, but for the time being podium level.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I think he makes too many silly mistakes at the moment. Like in, where was it? Turkey.
I am stupid.
I am stupid thing they were talking about earlier, but also in Turkey this year, he lost the podium. Yeah. He went for the overtake.
Yeah. He's still, he's young.
He's too young to be.
Yeah, he's only had 3 years in Formula One, and one of them was in a very below par Ferrari car.
Sauber.
And he's still.
Then he was Sauber as well before he did a year at Sauber.
But I think top podium level is probably fair. I would have him above Bottas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz. Now,
I would either have him
after Perez or in front of Norris. I think he's on that cusp between
podium. I think, to be fair, Lando ran very close to him. And I think Carlos, with his experience over Lando, should have been able to pull away a little bit more. Yeah, in terms of, like, there should have been, really, there should have been a bigger gap between them.
Yeah, there was that
but
gap.
But Norris did stick very close. Yeah, but obviously that was his, that was Lando's first season.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this season, the you know, the stats are very close. And so I'd probably put him at the top of regular points. I know he's got a few podiums, but...
No, I'd agree. I'd agree.
Yeah, I was going to say lower end of podium level or higher end of regular points. So
I think he is a good racer, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and he's still young. He's what, 24, I think. So, you know, there's no reason why in a couple of years we won't be saying put him in race winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pierre Gasly.
Happy points. Birthday for yesterday to Pierre Gasly, as we're recording.
Yo.
I reckon he's about back, the same as Carlos Sainz, you know.
No,
I'd put below Sainz. Just whether you put him above Norris. Or...
Yeah. I'd probably say on the back, you know, off of the experience and the sort of mental strength that it took for him this season and last season and all of that and overcoming that, I'd probably put him above Norris. To still get, like, you know, okay results with all of that going on in the background, I think is possibly a much bigger achievement than people maybe sort of, that people don't really consider how hard, difficult it must have been for him to get the results. So I think probably I'd put him above Norris.
Yeah, I think he's shown great character, hasn't he? He's definitely got the right mindset for F1.
Yeah, but then you could argue that in Norris's debut season, although that was when Gasly had a bad season at Red Bull, Norris was beating him with Gasly in that Red Bull. But I don't know how much of that you can really take to judge Gasly. You know, obviously it was a tricky time for him.
Yeah, and I also think a lot of that's Red Bull.
Yeah.
Rather than Gasly.
Possibly, yeah. So are we all in agreement between Sainz and Norris?
Yeah, sandwich him.
Yeah,
sandwich.
Go on.
In the middle.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Potential, man. Potential.
Yeah. It's really difficult with ones that obviously we haven't seen on track yet. But if we're just looking at his F2 season, I mean, it was incredible. Like, it's his rookie season and he's just, like, so zippy.
That man has got pure speed in him.
Fast. Yeah, he's full of confidence, isn't he?
He's got potential a race winner, but we haven't seen him in F1, which is the worrying thing.
Some of his overtakes.
I don't think he'll be back of the grid. I mean, I don't know how much of that is obviously that AlphaTauri is slightly above the back of the grid cars. So I'd probably put him at the bottom of midfield driver based on his F2 performance, because obviously he'll have to adapt to F1 and stuff like that. But he's been doing a lot of testing in the old F1 car.
I think we can really
can't really make an argument for putting him above Ocon or Stroll when they've got that. It doesn't really work. But
that's
exactly
what I was going to say. Yeah, I don't think you can really put him above, you know, seasoned drivers. But
then again, would you put him above, you know, we've got coming up the likes of Raikkonen, Russell, Mick Schumacher. You know, would you?
Well, Mick Schumacher beat him in F2, so you kind of got to put Schumacher above Tsunoda.
Yeah, so would that not relegate Tsunoda down to back of the grid?
I think leave him where he is for now, and then we might have to rethink.
Okay, well, we can have a little rethink. Raikkonen, I would put midfield.
But he has got a championship, and we've put Alonso. Yeah. I'm not, obviously, he's only got one, but then Alonso's only got two. So, you know. But then, obviously, Alonso's had the break and Kimi has it.
This is probably the most difficult driver to judge because he's got such a long career. What part do you judge him? Do you judge him on the entire thing?
Then, obviously, he's in an Alfa Romeo now, which isn't the best car.
He has got points out of that Alfa Romeo. He has probably... he's definitely baited. Pete Giovinazzi over a couple of years, he's been there.
Yeah, I feel like you've got to look at the fact
Giovinazzi's
that
Giovinazzi's like half his age.
you've got to look at the fact that he's 41 years old and still racing. I mean, that shows some sort of consistency that clearly the other drivers might not have. He's been in for such a long time that he can't, I don't think you can really put him as a bottom end of a midfield driver, especially with his world championship. I think regular points, certainly.
Yeah, I think on merit of his experience, regular points, but I'd put him behind the three that we've got there already.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Antonio Giovinazzi. Now, I can't lie to you guys. I'm not the biggest fan of him.
Neither am I. But then it's difficult when you've only had, the only seasons you've had are in an Alfa Romeo. It's the same with, you know, Latifi.
But then Leclerc, the only... isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Sauber came out from there, so you could argue Leclerc got performance out of that. And to be fair, I'm surprised he kept his seat for this season, to be honest.
Yeah, especially with the, you know, there was a lot of talent in the, you know, F2, Callum Ilott.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a phenomenal record of getting overtakes in the first lap. But does that show that he's just underperforming on the Saturdays? You know, if he's underperforming in quali, then can we really put him much higher than back of the grid? Because he's clearly got the pace to be better, but he just doesn't do it. So there's something
the thing I would is,
well, but overtaking a load of people on the first lap and one lap pace in qualifying are quite different skills, in my opinion, anyway.
But the thing is, he's then losing those positions again. Maybe that's because of his car. Maybe that's because of his level. But he is losing those positions again a few laps later. Or by the end of the race, he's back down to where he started almost.
Yeah.
I would personally put him at the back of the grid. But
yeah, I don't really rate him, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'd still put Tsunoda above him, just based on the F2. Performance.
Maybe, possibly, yeah. Mick Schumacher.
I think you're going to have to put him, the Haas isn't a good car, but I...
put over a midfield now.
Yeah, if we're purely basing Tsunoda on F2, I think we
have to put Mick ahead of Tsunoda, yeah. I think,
Now it's the one we've all...
We know where this man's going.
Mazepin
has got his own tier. He's iconic like that.
Yeah,
he's got his own tier.
He's
got his own tier. You know, Mazepin's got his own tier.
Hashtag exclusive gang.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
George Russell.
Go!
Right, this is difficult because he's not been getting regular points, but it's a Williams and he performs so well in the Merc.
Yeah, if we're putting Kimi Raikkonen in regular points, I would argue currently Russell is a better driver than Raikkonen.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah.
So
Put him ahead. Yeah,
I would put him between Norris and Raikkonen, personally.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Latifi, I think we've kind of got to put him in back of the grid, really.
Yeah. I'd say don't really rate him.
Giovinazzi, because he has... He did pull off, what, 2 or 3 11th place finishes last season?
Yeah, I'd put him in front of Giovinazzi, to be honest.
He's
quite sweet with his love of Nutella.
I don't think we can judge him from that. So are we happy with that? So in GOAT, we've got Lewis Hamilton, race winner, we've got Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso and Daniel Ricciardo. Podium level, Charles Leclerc, Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez. Regular points, Carlos Sainz, Pierre Gasly, Lando Norris, George Russell and Kimi Raikkonen. Midfield driver, Lance Stroll, Esteban Ocon, Mick Schumacher and Yuki Tsunoda. Back of the grid, we've got Nicholas Latifi and Antonio Giovinazzi. And then in his own tier, we have the infamous Nikita Mazepin.
Yeah!
With that, or is there any tweaks we'd like to make?
You know, I think Mazepin should get promoted a little bit. I don't think that category is right for him.
What is own name?
Whoa. What's the category for him then, my dude? Come on.
I think he should go in the Raikkonen category. Nah, I'm only joking, guys. Of course, Nikita Mazepin, terrible track record as a human being, not a brilliant driver, back of the grid, and then plus one.
He got fined for running a red light in Oxfordshire recently. Because obviously, hashtag
justice for Callum Mylott. Hashtag it, justice for Callum.
Yeah, poor Callum.
Well, you could argue that Mylott should have got Giovinazzi seat and then wouldn't have this.
It's time to go.
Yeah, but I just think Mick and Callum would make great teammates.
What about Nico Hülkenberg? No one's signing petitions justice for Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, but he had lots of years in F1.
It was Callum's seat.
Callum came second in F2 this year. He's an FDA driver. He's just not got a billionaire father.
Yeah, I think that just about sums it up.
Money talks.
Yeah.
Daddy's cash.
Well, I think we're all in agreement with the rankings at the minute. No tweets?
Yeah, I reckon that's all right.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, stop sharing that. So I think that's all we've got covered for week's Fly Life F1 podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. I think there is 3 more episodes to go before the start of the 2021 season in Bahrain. We will look forward to seeing you then. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you in the next episode.